The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and folks have been telling you for a little while now about the great event up in Jackson is being put on by our friends at Larry's RV Center. What am I talking about? Larry's RV Center's third annual Trade a Tent sales event going on now through Sunday, May 22nd, at the American One Event Center in Jackson. Open daily, 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. Hundreds of RVs on display. Free parking, $5 admission. Kids under 10 are free. And the way it works is pretty simple, but beneficial. You bring in any new or gently used tent to Larry's RV and a Trade a Tent sales event, and you get an instant $1,000 credit. So that time, I mean, think about it. You go buy, if you don't even have a tent, you go buy $150, whatever it costs, get you spend a couple hundred bucks on a tent and get an instant $1,000 credit. Gently used tent, instant $1,000 credit. That tent that you bring in will be donated to Michigan United Conservation Youth Club Youth Camp in Chelsea, and then you can apply that $1,000 of instant credit towards your new RV. That's at Larry's RV Center's third annual Trade a Tent sales event from going on now through Sunday at the American One Event Center in Jackson, open daily, 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. Make it on over, and look, more information, go to larrysrvservice.com. Again, larrysrvservice.com. I challenged Seth yesterday to give me some hope. Give me some hope on you know, coaching, accountability, you know, calling each other out, helping bring about change when it comes to college athletics and how things have become sort of discombobulated when it comes to roster continuity. He couldn't do that. He was trying to give me some hope on Musa, because I was like, oh, man, you see these numbers Musa put up. Hope is fading fast. And he actually tried to inject a little bit of optimism. It didn't work, Ira, especially when you look at what Tim McCormick, what he put up, as he watched Musa at the NBA draft combine.
Yeah, Sam. Timmy Mac tweeted this morning. I retweeted it. This is one of my things that I don't like about Twitter. You hit heart. It's not my favorite tweet. I just wanted to acknowledge the tweet. I don't like it, but I liked it. I watched Musa Diabate's entire draft combine workout in person on Wednesday. No body fat. He outjumped the highest setting on the Mavs vertical, ran like a sprinter, shot well on corners threes. He reminded me of Bam Adebayo in his combine workout in 2017. Also, he interviewed well. Can there be we need like another kind of option on Twitter other than like, because I don't like that. It's good for him, but I don't like that.
The part that jumps out to me on that is he shot well at corner threes. I mean, this is the time for your jump shot to be falling, young fella, because you can make them feel better than they were already feeling about you. Now, would we call that a strength of Moose's game? No, you remember Phil, who is not one for the filter. He said, Phil Simmons, I thought he was going to break the rim. You remember that? Before he said, I thought he was going to break the rim down. He was throwing up so many bricks, right? But he said he's looking better. You go from that, watching that in practice, to this kind of outing that Tim just described. It has all the makings of more than a couple GMs seeing that and feeling like, man, we got to take a bet on this. We at least know. We know he has the potential to be a decent three-point shooter. And you add that to everything else that he can just do because of his freakish athleticism on the court. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling like they were saying he wasn't in any first-round mocks. He's going to be in first-round mocks coming out of this. I'd be shocked if that weren't the case.
Yeah, I'm expecting his name to appear more and more. And my thoughts of these last, 11 or 12 days before the deadline of withdrawal from the draft, of my optimism over that stretch is waning by the day. Timmy Mac definitely drained some more of almost all of my remaining optimism. But that's where
Michigan's coaches, you know, this is, so they say, been getting questions at Michigan. What are they going to do? Are they doing anything in the portal? It's been, you know, sort of the interest, the activity has been tepid at best, right? You're just in a, it's a bit of a pickle, more than a bit, even when you consider they don't have a scholarship, technically don't have a scholarship to offer a player. You got to be in position with a lot of these guys, you know, with where they are to, maybe they want to make a decision right now. You can't really have anything on the table. You can be talking to guys who are maybe willing to drag out their timeline a bit, or whose timeline is already, you know, out of ways. You can be talking to those guys, but until you have a really good idea of what's going to go down, you got to be a little conservative with your approach in the portal. Yes, you're there, but you aren't aggressive. I think coming off of this, aggression, even before you see which guys are definitely pulling out, because that's another reason to sort of take that sort of lukewarm approach to the portal is because you don't know who's going to pull out of the draft and be available. So you want to be around for that too. But I think Michigan is probably operating. The coaches are probably operating under the thought process that they were going to have one spot to fill. Now it's feeling like they're going to have two spots to fill, but they're able to go to this combine, support Musa, but also see, oh yeah, Musa's probably going. You get a better feel for that just by being in the building, right? And it's some scouting going on, like for guys who might pull out. There's that going on too.
Sam, when you're talking about potentially, for argument's sake, say both stay in the draft, which means you have two roster spots available for you, right? That's the starting point. Are you looking specifically at a four, or would you be looking maybe at a guard? Like, it's not necessarily specific to position, right? You're looking for shooting. You're looking for defense. You're not necessarily looking for a position because you can play Terrence at the four. You can do other things to move guys around. That it's not necessarily I'm kind of saying it as a statement, but it's more of a question, right? Like it's that.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it.
I guess for me, my number one sort of interest would be a point guard. I'd be looking at that first. That's just me, because it frees you up with Llewellyn to be that combo. I mean, I sort of see Jalen Llewellyn as Eli. And, you know, that certainly can be your point guard, but ideally he would be a combo for you. And then if you can come with a pure one that can shoot, I mean, that's ideal. So what do you covet? Some shooting, a pure point guard, and then yeah, if you have two spots, especially, because I would prioritize those two things, and hopefully you can get those in one player, you would love to have some experience size. You would love for your backup to Hunter to have some experience, for it not to all be on Terrace, who is, you know, Terrace is in the lab. He's working hard. He certainly physically will be ready to go. But, you know, if you can throw some experience in there to back Hunter up, that would be even better. And I think that you will see them try to attack both of those things if both Musa and Caleb stay in the draft, and be interesting to see who pulls out. I mean, that sort of changes the dynamic too. But I like the Pete. I like the Pete Nance. I like the Pete Nance talk. That would be a great fit for Michigan. He would check a lot of boxes.
Sam, it's almost like when we have the conversations on, particularly in football, on draft day, when you're like, you create your board and you pick best available, right? Michigan at this stage would probably be creating a board and have, if there's a point guard like you're talking about, probably pretty high on the board, right? Pete Nance, probably pretty high on the board. And I would probably just go through, it's like, next guy on the board. You rank that board and you're like, I'm taking the top guy. And if he's not available, I'm taking the next guy. And if we have two spots, I'm taking one and two or one and three, whatever is available and what you can get your hands on. I'm assuming they have a board, but I'm not necessarily ranking, you know, a point guard board, a big man board, right? I might just have one list because you're trying to fill certain needs. And you can, as you said, you might be able to fill a couple needs with one player, and maybe you fill up a backup need with another guy. Like, there's different options that you can potentially have. They'll have some flexibility. They'll know a lot more in 12 days. That's for darn sure.
Well, I tell you what, they definitely know a lot more about how things are trending with Musa.
Correct. I mean, they'll know the finality of it. Within the next 12 days, they will have the finality of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I think that they were prepared for the likelihood of this. Now I think they're preparing for the inevitability. These are two different things, right? Likelihood and inevitable. There's a space between likely and inevitable. And I think they realize at this point, yeah, it's looking pretty inevitable. And he's knocking down corner threes too. He's doing that also. Oh, yeah, this is going to be tough for the young fella to come back. And like Tim said, he's going to interview well. Did you see his interview that he did with the Pacers?
Yeah, it was impressive.
Very impressed.
Sam, I remember media day. So this goes back. He had not obviously played a game. He had not been on campus all that long, relatively speaking. It was one of his first things that he did, obviously, as a college player. And being an international student where English is not his first language, but he obviously speaks English pretty well, his personality shined through, and he exhibited a certain amount of maturity that you would not necessarily get from freshmen, like in his answers, right? He was playful and he was jovial, but he also had a side to him that you could tell he was a little bit more mature. He shows up well in front of a microphone. And when you show up well in front of a microphone, you're generally going to do really well at your interview. So I agree with that. I'm going to make a comparison to Nard. When Musa walks in a room, he's always smiling, right? And that smile lights up an entire room and everybody kind of flocks to it. That was how Nard was. I remember Nard in this building. It was a takeover. He had just literally from the airport to here, he had not even stepped on campus yet as a freshman. And he still had that big smile on his face and people kind of flocking around him. The same thing a year later, he hadn't even been the starting quarterback yet. And I see the similar thing with Musa, and it's going to translate into the interview process and probably, unfortunately, translate into him being, well, for him, good that he's a first-round pick. For us, unfortunately, we will not see him again likely in a maize and blue uniform.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. If it works out that way, super, super happy for him that, you know, he could show enough this year and parlay that into a draft combine invite and be a first round pick. And the talk had been during the recruiting process. So I think it's important to set that, to sort of frame, to give it some context where he is right now. That was all the talk, that he was going to be a one, that he was coming and he was going to be a one and done. I mean, that was, I think in recruiting, I think that there was an understanding that's the desire. Now, does it work out like that? Do you have the kind of season that will get that for you? I think there was some question as to whether or not this season, that he has shown enough this season to be a one and done. But clearly the combination of that and how he's doing at the combine, I mean, the combination of those two things make it look like he'll be able to meet that desire. So if that's the case, wish him, really, really wish him well, and be super happy for him. And then, attention for me would turn to Caleb, and hoping that if he stays in, hoping that whatever promise that he gets, that promise is actually fulfilled, and that he can be a first-round pick as well. All right, we need to get to a break. Mr. Weintraub, we got a special weekend coming up in a little less than a month now, right? Wolverine weekend right around the corner.
I'm really looking forward to talking to John Bacon later on this morning. I'm sure he'll have a few thoughts on things like, comments from the past of, coaches that have said things like you can't beat the cheaters, and how comments like that make you think about those when Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher are spatting at each other. But yes, John U. Bacon will be with us next month as well. When we are at Wolverine weekend, it's John U. Bacon, it's Devin Gardner, it's J.J. McCarthy, it's Ryan Hayes, it's Ronnie Bell, it's Sam Webb, it's myself. We're going to be hanging out. We got golf at the Wolverine. We've got, really starting a live broadcast, you, me, and Devin, and special guest live at the Golf Clubhouse on Saturday, June 18th. It's the 17th, 18th, and 19th weekend, Father's Day weekend on that Saturday, 8 o'clock in the morning, live broadcast, 10 a.m. The golf starts at the Wolverine. And we'll play the Wolverine, have a great time on that golf course, and then we'll rest, relax, refresh, clean up a little bit, and then the dinner is that night. John U. Bacon is the keynote speaker, but we're also going to have an opportunity for you and Devin to do a Monday morning quarterback kind of in person in front of all the people. And, of course, throughout the day, meet and greets and different opportunities with those Michigan football players, J.J. McCarthy, Ryan Hayes, and Ronnie Bell. It's a great event. It's going to be a ton of fun. We've got people coming from all over the state and all over the country to join us. There's still some spots available. For more information, go to GrandTraverseResort.com/Wolverine Weekend. That's GrandTraverseResort.com/Wolverine Weekend. And join us for Father's Day weekend. It's going to be a blast.
Yes, it will be. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to talk to John Ubakin as well about the fire, the smoke, the back and forth, the sort of media battle royal that's going on right now between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo was ready. I'm going to respond to this. God called me out, and I said, God has a problem if he's coming at me. This is what Jimbo was saying to Nick Saban yesterday. So I'm definitely going to dive back into that with Bakes a little bit later. Shocked, still shocked, that Deion, primetime Sanders, did not want the smoke, Mr. Y.
Didn't you get a tweet, someone explaining
turned
it to you?
It down.
Didn't you get a tweet, someone explaining it? I thought you got tweeted at it. Yeah.
I did. And I got to give the guy who tweeted this at me credit. He said, real quick, and this is Thomas Green at Green TBG, said, why are you surprised at Deion Sanders? He always avoided contact. It's like, you know what? Spot on. But I mean, the way that Deion has been coming, Coach Prime, right? Call me Coach Prime. Don't call me Deion. Call me Coach Prime. It's disrespectful for you to address me by my name. You call Nick Saban coach. No, they call Nick Deion.
Yeah, it's disappointing because Sam on, was it on Wednesday? He said Wednesday late night or early Thursday morning, he says, stay tuned, no lie, all that stuff. And then yesterday, basically he said, I ain't tripping.
I mean, but yeah, exactly. He did all the build up, stay tuned. You know, he's definitely going to be responding, all of that. And then when you consider, like, he went off. Don't disrespect me. Call me Coach Prime. Don't disrespect me. Treat me like you treat Nick Saban. You call him coach. No, they don't. But then anyway, that was his point. So that you called that disrespect and you had that kind of response. This dude just called you out in front of the world that you're buying a player, right? And you said you didn't buy the guy. And so that is more disrespectful than calling you Deion. And this is the response you came with? I'm disappointed, Ira. I'm disappointed.
Sam, when I read this response, and I'll read the whole thing before we go to break so people can understand, I knew how disappointed you were going to be. Because he said, I haven't talked to Coach Saban. I'm sure he's tried to call. We need to talk publicly, not privately. What you said was public. That doesn't require a conversation. Let's talk publicly and let everybody hear the conversation. You can't do that publicly and call privately. No. I still love him. I admire him. I respect him. He's the magna cum laude of college football, and that's what it's going to be because he's earned that. But he took a left when he should have stayed right. I'm sure he'll be back on course. I ain't tripping. And Sam, he expected tame responses from 98% of America. I think Jimbo's in the 2%. He wasn't. He was expecting tame or supportive responses from 98% of America. Deion said he was going to bring the heat, Sam. And then he came lukewarm. I mean, not even. It was like room temperature.
Deion just bowed down. There was a
just the ring a little bit.
There was a song back in the mid-90s when Cube was – he had the West Side Connection, and it was called Bow Down. If you listen to the chorus of that song, you could apply it to Deion. You could apply it to Deion in this case. He was bowing down to Nick Saban, and I'm shocked by it and disappointed. Because I thought that was going to be part of the popcorn that we had yesterday. But it was all from Jimbo. We had a good time with it this morning. We're going to have a better time with it with Bakes a little bit later. But when we come back on the other side, Ira, look, I get into these all-time starting fives or all-time starting lineups. And yesterday, Colin Cowherd had one. He had his first and second team. And Ira, I have not seen a list like this that I've ever agreed with more than I agree with the ones that he came up with yesterday. Ira, these are the starting fives. Your first string and your second string.
I'm going to let you contemplate the statement of maybe the smartest thing you've read on Twitter in a while came from Colin Cowherd. We're going to let that sink in for a little while. We're going to let you maybe apologize for that on the other side of the break.
Ira, it's amen. Sometimes it does happen.
So broken clock moment.
We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.